Blog Talk Radio.
Today I am so excited because we are having Tim Westlow of, he's been probably one of my favorite singers for, the last 20 years. I mean, he's been at Little Texas and he did his own CD for a while, and I kind of laugh because I cannot get enough of I Can't Be Your Friend Anymore. Oh, see, this is him. But when he was with Little Texas, the song was, Little Texas song was, why can't I think of it? I was just singing it to myself a couple of minutes ago. When my event is like one of those very, very, very good songs. And it just, for me, it just felt like, Tim Westlow had not got the, respect he could. And hold on, I'm going to... Hey, David?
Yes.
Hey, could you hear the music while I played it?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put you back on hold, but yeah. Okay. Okay, so you guys, we are waiting for Tim Westlow to come. I am so excited. I've been waiting for this interview probably everyone since I started Blog Talk Radio. I'm gonna play another one of his songs before he gets here, and here goes What Might Have Been.
I have cervical cancer
from an infection, human papillomavirus. Who knew HPV could lead?
Tommy, show great grandpa what you found.
We found this in the basement while we were cleaning it out.
We can sit and talk about it all night long. We wonder why we didn't last. Yesterday might be the best days we will ever know. We'll have to leave it
in the time. Hello, everyone, and I hope you could hear that. That was Little Texas, What Might Have Been, and our guest today is Tim Westlow, one of my favorite singers of all time. He, oh my gosh, he had transported what country music was in the 90s, and he took a chance, you know, to do his solo career, with, I think, Tim Russell needs more respect that country music has ever gave him, and here he is, everyone. Hi.
Hey, Carly. How are you?
Good. Yes, like I said, I don't feel like country music has given you the respect you deserve when you went solo. I mean, she misses him, and I can't be your friend anymore. I was like, one of the two greatest songs I think I've heard in a long time, and then when you were with Little Texas, when I had been. So, you know, what are your thoughts about, you know, I mean, you went solo. I was happy when you went solo, but how was the, you know, from going to Little Texas to then by yourself, how was that transition?
That's a very good question and a loaded question, but I guess I'll give you a short answer, but I'll be as deep as you want to be on this. You know, I think that first off, let's just state the facts. I mean, Little Texas was a wonderful group of guys, and we had a great band, and we had a great sound, and we were self-contained, and we wrote all the songs, and the guys did a great job writing the songs, and I tried to just interpret them as a great front man and lead vocalist, and it worked. You know, we had worked so hard for so many years playing the club scene and working our way up the ladder and gaining regional success in every region we played in the country, from, you know, Myrtle Beach to Atlanta to Dallas to New Mexico, all the way out to Los Angeles and back. And we did that route 5 or 6 times in a row over 5 years to get that chance to get a record deal. And then it worked. And then we had a run that lasted, you know, almost a decade. And, you know, that there's nothing I can say. I had somebody 2 days ago say, how does it feel, you know, to be in what we call a super group? And I really hadn't thought about it like that, but I thought, well, I mean, I guess we kind of were that. You know, somebody said on the
call
that I was on earlier, they said, you guys were the Rascal Flatts of the 90s. And I laughed, and
yes.
But at the same time, I kind of think maybe that's what we were. I don't know. But, you know, I think we achieved what we wanted to achieve and beyond our wildest dreams, and it was a great run. And so when it came time for us to lay it down and to end that and to move on into our own private sector of our life and focus on what did we all look like individually outside of having been in a band, it became a big deal. And so for me, I had to figure out, in answer to your question, I wanted to preface it with that. I had to figure out how to make my Pistons fit its own engine. I'd been to, you know, sort of the hood ornament for Little Texas for all these years. So what could I do to say and do something different? And we were literally in the middle of recording my Crazy Life album on Atlantic Records as my first solo project outside of Little Texas. And things were going well, and we were happy with the recording. And then I got pitched the song She Misses Him, which was written by Tim Johnson, a very good friend of mine, who has since passed, but will always be remembered. He's a wonderful man and a good friend. And he brought that song to us, and immediately I was really touched, but I was concerned that maybe the topic of the song was too heartfelt and too light from a guy that had been in Little Texas, you know, maybe, you know, with God Bless Texas and Kick a Little and Amy's Back in Austin and all these different things. I thought maybe it was too light for that, but I thought my gut said, no, this song needs to be heard. And so we recorded it, and then of course the record label decided that should be the first single. And of course She Misses Him went on to be a top 5 record at radio and just did some amazing things. And it also taught me a personal lesson in that, you know, the idea of She Misses Him is based on a wife taking care of her husband with Alzheimer's and dementia. And years later, I've dealt with that in my own personal life. And it also taught me a lesson that sometimes the message of a song can be much bigger than the artist. And I actually went on to become a national spokesman for the Alzheimer's Association for a couple of years. And I went to Congress in D.C. and helped raise funds for Alzheimer's and dementia, and continue to support that because I believe we need that. Since then, I've had a mother-in-law that it was just one of my dearest personal best friends who passed away of that. So I have a personal relationship with that awful disease now, and they call it a long goodbye. And that's what it is. But I will tell you this. I talked to somebody yesterday who's dealing with this personally. I bumped into an old neighbor of mine in my old neighborhood. And, you know, my advice to anybody listening that is dealing with that is you have two choices. You can get really sad and really mad and just let it bum you out. Or you can choose to use the situation to make the best of it and to have laughter and fun and make the most of it. Just because somebody forgot something, you know, make it a fun moment. Make it funny that they forgot. Don't mm-hmm. make fun of them, but make a funny of the situation and laugh about it and laugh with them about it. And I promise you, those days are much brighter than the days that are dark and worrying about, you know, the downside of it, because there is a major downside. But I think it's much better to look at the ways to make lemonade out of lemons. And that's what the song has taught me personally.
Yeah, I mean, that song, I mean, remember when it came out, and then I saw the video with how you use Nancy Reagan and Ronald Reagan in one of the videos. And it was, I thought, was a great way to do it because, you know, I mean, I think Ronald Reagan also, besides seeing this as you, also when they finally went public with, you know, what Ronald Reagan had. And I still believe the last tomb, he was really struggling with it. Were they going to go and tell the whole world with this? Now when he was, you know, commander-in-chief, by the way, that video, and you guys need to go look at the video, it's so good. And it probably will make you cry a little, but for that, I think that song, even though you were worried about, you know, because you were just leaving the Texas, when I heard that song, Tim, I thought that was the best choice you could have made, because I think, you know, like that person said, yes, you guys will, the Rascal Flatts of the 90s. You guys, in all intents and purposes, was. I mean, you know, and I know when singers are in it, probably they are not looking at that, but, you know, Little Texas did so many incredible songs, and you have written a lot of them, too. Did you end up writing What Might Have Been? Were you, I mean, what was the basis? I mean, I love that song. First time I heard it, I was in my grandfather's car, and I was thinking about my ex, and that song came on, and I was just crying because it's like, oh, my God, did they write this for me? Oh, my God, they did, kind of thing. What was that song? You know, that song is still really well played on CMT everywhere. So what was that like for that song to come out for you in Little Texas?
That's a great question. Well, for the record, Porter Howell and Brady Seals and Dwayne O'Brien, three members of Little Texas, are really awesome songwriters, and they wrote a great song and had a great hook, and they wrote a very, very endearing song and a melody that just haunts you, you know, because I think the truth is, you know, everybody has got a What Might Have Been in their life. Everybody does.
Yep.
And I just chose to see the song as an interpreter of the lyric. I chose to just try to put an emotion into it that was believable. You know, it's funny because I hear that song now, and sometimes I kind of cringe. I'm like, oh gosh, God, I seen this so much better now as an older guy than I did as a 20-something-year-old. But at the same time, you know, it is what it is. It's history, and so I'm not upset about that at all. But I do, I like the way I sing it now much better because it's much more, you know, not only on pitch, but probably more just emotional because I've heard so many stories over the years of how that song has affected people. And you know, I occasionally do these shows once in a while with Richie McDonald from Lone Star, the singer, and with Larry Stewart from Russell's Heart. And we do these shows together and we call it the Frontman of Country. And so we do these shows and the other day we were doing one and Richie McDonald just stopped me in the middle of the song. And he goes, I got to tell you a story. And I was kind of shocked he stopped me. I was like, okay, what's up? And he goes, well, you know, when I was moving from Amarillo and Lubbock to Nashville, I was leaving my girlfriend at the time, Lori, behind coming to Nashville to chase my dreams. And I heard what might have been. I turned my car around. I went back. He goes, and that song basically showed me I needed to go back and get this girl. He goes, and to this day, now she's my wife and the mother of my three children. And so that song really, really helped me out, buddy. And I high-fived him, and it was a good moment. But it was a true story. So whether it's Richie McDonald from Lone Star or it's just somebody in a bar that heard us sing, there's always going to be people that are affected by the idea that you know, when there's a Y in the road and you take a right or a left, it may be right, wrong, or indifferent, but, you know, as happy as you may be in your life, you can always look back and go, you know, what would have happened if I'd gone that way instead of this way? And it's not a diss to your current situation. It's just a fact of life. We all have choices, and me included, you know, we all have those. And so I think that's what that song stands for, and that's what it means to people. And I'm really honored that I get to sing it and to be a part of it. And I think those guys wrote a wonderful song. And I'm honored to get to convey it to an audience whenever I play my shows. And it never ceases to amaze me the stories that I hear about it.
I mean, yeah. Oh, okay. So when you mentioned with the, you know, the guy with C. McDonough of Lone Star, you know, that is another one that I've been trying to get on this show for since day one. You and him, I mean, Lone Star, Low Texas, but Rissy McDonough and you, I think, are the two really gifted country singers in the business still, you know, today. And I know Rissy took off a couple of years to do his own thing, and now Lone Star is back. But, you know, if, you know, you talk to him, you know, if you end up talking to him again, please, you know, give him my contact information, or if you, after the show, whatever, can tell me how I can get in touch with them, I will owe you so much, Tim, because both of you, I mean, I didn't know you were working with them at all on these, concerts.
I'll be happy to give you his information. I need to, I'm actually going to see him tomorrow. We have a meeting tomorrow, and I'll see him and Larry Stewart from Restless Heart as well. And I'll be happy to pass on your information to him. So no worries there. That's easy. That's an easy thing. You know, Richie, one of the things that I do that I've been doing for about 14 years is I go overseas and I play for our soldiers and our troops and our sailors. Mm-hmm. I go over there every year. And about 6 years ago, I asked Larry Stewart from Russell's Heart and Richie McDonald from Lone Star to come with me. And they did. And that sort of was the catalyst to start this whole thing. And so we go every year overseas and play for the troops, and we do a lot of shows on our own. We actually both, all three of us, we played the inaugural for the president at the memorial with Lee Greenwood. We sang God Bless the USA and did a medley of our hits. And it was a wonderful moment. I mean, it's not to, you know, a lot of people, I know we've been in a very contested election and people are having their opinions of that. And I totally understand that. And I don't play politics when it comes to music and entertaining. I just knew that when I got the phone call to go and be with the front man and play at the memorial with Lee Greenwood and sing God Bless the USA, it was not a decision based on whether I'm a Republican or a Democrat or a liberal or a conservative. It was based on that I'm an American, and I just wanted to honor my country, kind of like what we do every year and going to honor our troops and play for them overseas. You know, and of course, that also led into my big band, which we'll get into later, but that ended up being something we did as well, which is pretty funny. So, there you go.
Well, we are in a crazy time, but I think we all, you know, the line blew a lot with I sometimes never understand, like way back in 2000 when Dixie Six, you know, got in trouble then. For me, I thought really at that moment, the political stuff sort of stayed out. I really think country radio got mad at them, and I think, you know, yeah, right or wrong, how everyone's thinking politically, I think they should just left that alone. And yeah, I can understand why you and Lee Greenwood and all this, yeah, it was an inauguration, and, you know, you guys built it, you know, to do it was, I think, you know, is, you know, really good. Just, you know, it's a crazy time, and I get mad when people get mad at the country stars or the pop, or no matter what, you know, politically, I don't think, you know, it should even be, you know, politically, and then the singing should be, you know, drawn together in a foregone conclusion with that. I look at it as this, well, let them sing and don't be mad at them. I mean, what was your take on, you know, all of this the last couple of months?
You know, to be honest, I personally keep my political views totally to myself because, you know, the last time I checked, we all get to go into a voting booth and we get to vote our conscience. And that's between us and God. And that's kind of how I see that. Now, I will say outside of that my views can lean somewhat conservative at times, but at the same time, I'm more than willing and love to listen to everybody's opinion, and I judge nobody. I'm one of those people that I don't judge anybody on anything. Their life is their life, and their choices are their choices, and I'm going to love them regardless. And so that's kind of where I stand on that. But, you know, it was kind of funny to me that when I went to go do the inaugural situation, and just for the record, you know, what I'm doing now with my big band, we ended up being the inaugural band at the big ball. And there were a lot of people that were angry about that. And I just said to them all, I said, you know, please don't be angry. Please know that I'm doing this to unite our country, because right now I don't feel like we're very united. I want us to be united. And look, I can't help the way the election turned out. All I can do is try to make the best of the situation that we've been dealt and pray for a president we have and hope that things turn out great, because to be anything less, to me, is just not going to work. We have to move forward. And so for me, taking on the role of doing the inaugural events with the front men of country and also with my big band was something I just felt honored to do. And I'll be honest with you, I've been asked this. Had Hillary Clinton won, I would have been there. If McCain had won the election and he was there, and he asked, would I be there? Yes, I'd be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel a real, we're talking about the highest seat in our nation asked me to be a part of something that was an American event. And you know, the changing of power and the transition of power in our country is something that's rarely seen in the world, and yet it's seen here. And so I thought, well, I want to be a part of that. This wasn't about a, you know, political move or a strategic move. It was just from my heart, you know, and to this day, I've got friends that are happy with me, and I've got a few friends that aren't happy with me too, but I'm really pleased that everybody at least is willing to see my heart and know that I meant no malice towards anybody else. You know, I'm not out, you know, protesting somewhere or, or doing anything wild. You know, I love music. I love to entertain. I am an entertainer. And what comes with my job is, you know, in your bucket list of things in life, to be able to say you played for a king or a queen or a president is a part of your bucket list. And when I was asked to do this, I thought about it. I prayed about it. And I said, yes, I will be a part of this.
Well, yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, people just need to feel it out lately. And, like, right now, you are doing the big band. So what is that now? I mean, because, you know, I know you were on Toby Keith's label for a while, and then suddenly you got dropped, and I feel like emailing Toby Keith a bad email over you. I'm like, wait, you dropped him? No, this is not acceptable in my book. It's still not acceptable. So why did that happen? I mean, because everyone was so excited for Toby Keith's new label. The moment I heard you were on it, I felt safe. I honestly feel safe for you. And then, bam, it goes from feeling safe for you than being angry for you. So, yeah.
You're very sweet. You know what? First off, Toby Keith is a very good friend of mine. I respect Toby. He's a good man. And I'll tell you this. The way that my thing ended with Toby Keith was not a bad thing at all. He's got Toby Keith has his brand. He's got his record label. He's got his thing mm-hmm. that he does. And yet my thing is very, very different from Toby Keith. So it was sort of like at a time we both were at a place in our career where, you know, I was writing some songs with Toby and I was for his Broken Bridges soundtrack movie and things are moving along nicely.
Mm-hmm.
I went out and opened for him for a while, and everything was going well. But it just felt like, you know, I needed to be able to transition. And the best thing that happened was all I had to do was call Toby. Go, hey, Toby, I think I'm going to move in another direction. And he was very kind, very cool about it. And we did that. And so I think from that place forward, that's what sort of opened up the idea in my heart to go, okay, I've done a lot of things in my career. What is my heart saying that I want to do? And my heart was like, I want to go back to my roots, what really influences me and motivates me. And when I hear these songs, just gives me a buzz of, oh my gosh, I love that. And I kept coming back to the Great American Songbook and to Bobby Darin and the Frank Sinatra and to Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. and all the songwriters that wrote the Great American Songbook, because these songs were written in a time when our country was really hurting. I mean, these songs were written in the 1940s and 50s during World War II and beyond. And mm-hmm. the people that wrote these songs were trying to bring joy and hope to a country that really needed it. And so those songs, in my opinion, have special sauce on them. They're really special. And so I started to think, you know, I really want to do this. I really want to do it, but I can't. You can't say I'm going to do a big band unless you have a big band. You can't half-ass this. You got to do it right. And so for me, I chose to take the route of I want to do it authentic, and I want to do it right, and I want to do it where people will go, wow, that guy means it. He's authentic. And that's a big word to me. Authentic's a big word for me personally in my career.
Mm-hmm.
And I really gravitated towards that. And so I decided to record a big band Christmas album 3 years ago in Nashville.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
And it worked great. And that worked well. And then we were able to record a television show that was, we actually documented a concert, meaning we recorded a concert in Nashville that became a PBS TV special. And it's still airing as a PBS TV special on American Public Television until October of 2018. And then, of course, the inaugural thing happened. We were asked to come, you know, sing for the president. And then from there forward, it just kind of continued to the point now where my big band and I are actually, we're going to set the show down here in Nashville this winter for a very big deal for 7 or 8 weeks. I can't tell you where, and I can't tell you the details, but we are doing a residency, and we're going to sit the show down and create a supper club in Nashville for 8 weeks. And so I'm very excited about where it's going, what's happening. You know, we've had lots of calls from Las Vegas, of course, wanting us to bring the show out there, and we will. And it's all a matter of in time. But I'm very excited because, you know, with big band music, as a guy that's not 20 years old anymore, but who can still wear a suit and try to be a skinny rock star, you know, I get the opportunity to lead a big band of 24 guys on a stage and bring this authentic Bobby Darin Supper Club experience to an audience. And so I'm watching people every night going, oh my gosh, I can't believe you can do this. And so things are going great. I'm very encouraged and very excited about where we're headed. And that's kind of the update. If people want to know more or you just want to see a piece of what I'm doing, you can go to timrushlow.com. And then on the front page, when the old-fashioned TV shows up and it says click here, click that. It'll take you to YouTube, and it'll show you a five-minute segment of my big band TV show. And you can see that.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And so, you know, I was looking on your website the other day. And why are you guys not doing anything on the West Coast yet? I mean, this my little complaint, because you guys are everywhere for this, but the West Coast, Tim. The West Coast.
We will, I promise you.
Seattle,
we will get on the West Coast.
Meaning Seattle, Oregon. You know, I get mad when your favorite band, you know, is coming to a place, and then they only come like halfway on the West Coast. And for me, I think Seattle never, you know, really gets it, you know, and then I get mad because, you know, I mean, I was looking and I'm like, I could go and, you know, I mean, you guys are playing a lot of good dates this summer, you know, and the fall, people. So, yeah, please go look because Tim is going to be in casinos, people. My love, I love casinos, Tim. You know, so that's why I wanted to ask you, when you know, you guys are doing all this band and stuff, so did you get to, like, sneak out and play the casinos for a while? Or are you guys not allowed to do that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we love casinos. And you know, my band and I will come out to the West Coast. I think the reason we haven't been on the West Coast yet, just so you know, that I've got 24 band members that I've got to get across the country. So we're talking about a considerable amount of money to make that happen. And it's tougher than it is just to bring five guys in a band and fly out there and hire a crew out in California and be done with it. It's really difficult. But we are going to do it. And I will tell you this, just because you probably haven't seen me in the live setting yet, but I want you to know, and anybody else listening, I want them to know this. You know, I'm the first person in the building, and I'm the last person to leave. And what that means is I don't hang out backstage and wait for people to leave. I mean, when I'm done with my show, I'm in the audience. I'm having a glass of wine, talking to people. I want people to know that I'm just as cool on stage and off stage than I am on stage. So I hang with people. I'm very social, and I enjoy that. And I think people enjoy that too. And that's one of the strengths that I love about the blessing I get to be able to do what I love to do for a living. You know, if somebody's going to pay $25 to come see me sing, it's one thing to sing for them. It's one thing to sing for them. That's another thing to take a picture with them. You know, I've had people go, hey, man, can we call my wife real quick? I'm like, yeah, dude, call her. Put me on the phone with her. I mean, whatever it takes for a personal thing to happen where they're like, man, that guy's real. He's cool. I'll do that. I always have. I always will. So I enjoy going out into casinos or going out into the bar area and seeing people and hanging out with them and taking pictures with them and letting them put them on Facebook or whatever. Because at the end of the day, you know, if I'm just a really cool guy on stage, but I'm not cool off stage, that's not cool enough. You need to be both. And I think more artists need to be willing to be accessible to the fans and friends that love their music.
Well, yeah. And, you know, when people found out I was having you on the show, because, you know, usually, you know, I'm in my daytime and prime time mode, you know, interviewing actors and actors, you know, and but for me, my love of country music, I'm like, okay, So I have to figure out how to sneak this into my show, because everyone knows I'm obsessed, you know, with country music, and I'm obsessed with Amazon now. And so, and I found out that if you go on Amazon, so many, like you, you're on Amazon. I mean, one of your CDs right now is $100 on Amazon, and I've been meaning to tell you that. But yeah, one of your CDs goes for $100 on there. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I mean, you know, and like I was like looking the other day because, you know, I'm worried that the post, you know, the UPS guy is really gonna know me. Because I don't know, this online shopping I found, and but with, you know, with the way country radio is right now, and the way, you know, it's really hard to get your name out there and your name on the radio again. Because I feel like even if stars take a little break, you know, they can't really take that much of a break anymore because, you know, they are worried that, you know, it's going to be forgotten about. And I get mad that, you know, I call my country station every day. I'm like, okay, can you just play Tim again? And they, the lady goes, you're going to keep calling me until I play all day long on you. I go, yes. And so, you know, I think all country radio here is finally getting the message from me that, you know, you all the country guys need to be played. I mean, like you mentioned Toby. Yeah, I always feel sorry for Toby because I feel like, you know, he doesn't get the respect out of old shows, but neither do you. And when you're reinventing the big band and everything, really, Tim, you could go for like a new artist category, because technically, you know, you are starting this new career with a big band, and you could be up for a couple of roles. So I think country radio needs to know that you guys are here, and I think, you know, to do more videos. But I know it takes a lot of money to do videos. But I just think, you know, with the big band, that is such a cool idea. I mean, you know, I mean, it's almost like you getting to boss 24 people around every night. That's how I would take it. So it, going from a solo act to being by yourself and then the big band, what is harder to do, you know, Little Texas by yourself or the big band, which is harder for your mind to do?
That's really a great question. You know, I'm kind of this entrepreneur who's trapped inside of a singer's body, you know. So I always look at the challenge ahead and I assess it and I go, okay, what's it going to take to accomplish that? And I knew with the big band, this was going to be a very big on-taking. It was going to take a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of sweat equity, and a lot of money. And so when I realized that I could do this well, and it's kind of like somebody asked me a couple weeks ago, how does it feel to sing this Bobby Darin song, you know, for the first time? And I laughed and I said, well, it's not the first time I've sang it. I've been singing this with a toothbrush in my mirror since I was 10 years old. It's just the first time you've heard me sing it. And so I knew full well that I had the ability to do this because I'm not stupid. I'm not going to be crazy and go out there and make a fool of myself. I knew I had the ability to do this. And so that once you get that out of your mind, or at least to the side, then you go, okay, now how can I accomplish this? You know, and so I realized quickly there wasn't anybody that was trying to be a purveyor or conveyor of the Great America Songbook in today's culture. I mean, we've got Harry Connick Jr., who's great, great artist, and of course he's a, you know, a talk show host. And you've got Michael Bublé, who's on top of the planet and can just record anything, and it sounds great because he's a fabulous singer. And then I thought, well, but there's nobody trying to do this 1965 Bobby Darin Supper Club Las Vegas show and record music that's like that, that's live, that matters, that's cool, that's got all these fresh arrangements. There's no one doing that with swagger at all like that. So I realized quickly that's what I wanted to do. And that's a spot I think – that's a niche and a spot that I thought I could fill. So that's where I started. And then from there forth, it's just been mapping it out and trying to strategically place it. And slowly but surely with, you know, public television coming on board and PBS deciding to air the show, you know, as a national pledge drive across the country, that puts me in front of people in their homes where I can't get to. And that brings the curiosity up, which means I get to come there in concert and play a show. So it's really been a blessing. Yes, it's had its hard knocks and its hard work, but just like Little Texas, you know, we had six record labels told us no before we ever got a record deal. And I'm not really looking for a record deal per se. I've kind of got one with my own label, but I do look at what's out there in the landscape, and I feel pretty excited that what I'm doing is the cutting edge of what's kind of this retro thing, but yet it's moving forward by reminding people of how great some of this stuff in our past really is.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I mean, so you have your own record label now? Oh, I didn't know that one.
I basically decided I would do my distribution for my albums through Sony, and then I would handle the record label part on my own. That does not mean that I would not entertain a major label opportunity, and it also doesn't mean that I don't have some, because I do. And I finally got to the place where I finally don't want a major record label, and now I finally got labels calling me going, hey, dude, we like what you're doing. Get on over here. Let's talk. So it's kind of ironic, and it's a good thing. It's a good problem to have. So I feel pretty good about where we're sitting right now. We'll see where it goes from here.
Well, yeah, and okay, so I know you haven't really done any duos really in a while, but if you could have like a couple of lady duet people, who would you want to do it duets with? I've always been wanting to know that.
That's a great question. Well, I did do, I brought my daughter Bailey, who at the time was 19. She came and sang Edelweiss. She came and sang Edelweiss from Sound of Music with me on my big band Christmas album. And it's a magical moment. It's really, really special. So I enjoy doing that with her. And she does do some shows with me live. And she's on fire on YouTube and doing her own videos. It's Bailey Rushlow, B-A-I-L-E-Y, Rushlow, R-U-S-H-L-O-W. So you can find Bailey online. And she's more theatrical than I am. She does more of the, you know, songs from Wicked and songs from different soundtracks,
mm-hmm.
you know, of theatrical Broadway shows. But she also has a very artsy-fartsy side that can be very, you know, Surrey Borealis and cool. So she's really amazing. So I love singing with her because she's my daughter and I'm real proud of her. But I guess, I mean, past that, you know, I probably would lean towards people that aren't even here anymore. That's the problem. I'd like to sing a song with Etta James. Or Ella Fitzgerald, you know, someone that's older that's really got the pipes, that's got it down, because they're going to make me look good. But I mean, if I had
well,
to pick somebody from
you know,
today,
that's so true.
If I had to pick someone from today to sing with, I would probably, if I could, I would go sing a duet with Diana Krall, because she's amazing jazz vocalist.
God. Oh, and by the way, people, she has a new CD out. So, you know, by the way, yeah, people go buy her CD. See, that would be really good. See, I've always seen you, like, doing a duet with maybe, like, Reba, Faith Hill, Sarah Evans, you know.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Of course, you know, you and Reba could do it. Oh my gosh, that would be, you know, and
well,
it was all my idea, people. Don't steal my ideas. But no, I just, you know, because I looked on the Texas and new album, and, you know, I think a lot of people now, like, love the duets. And after you do this big band, you know, CD, I think it would be awesome if you could do with a big band, like a couple of duets. do a couple duet albums because people nowadays love the collaboration with different artists and they love it, and you could just do a whole CD on it.
Well,
you know,
that's really a great idea. You know, I'm honored you think that. I'm honored you think enough of me to think I'm worthy of that. I mean, obviously, to sing with someone like Reba or Faith or Sarah Evans or anybody else you mentioned, you know, that's a nice thing. I know them all. I don't know them well, but I know them, and I would do that in a heartbeat. But I think that sort of leans towards my country past and not really towards my future. But I also wouldn't say no to that if the opportunity came up. But I look forward to seeing where things go in the future. You know, that's really where I'm looking to grow. I mean, I know that Dean Martin's daughter, Dina Martin, she sings apparently great. And I know that Nancy Sinatra sings. And so, you know, now that would be somebody I would lean towards for a duet in a heartbeat because, you know, that would be amazing. So time will tell.
Well, and, you know, if you didn't have all these deals in place, I was going to tell you that you know, have to go on The Voice. You know, I was just thinking about that lately. Like, you know, because right now it's hard in music, period. And, you know, like the duets I was talking about, you and Michael Bublé or Josh Groban would be incredible to do it too. Like all the names that come in my head, and they usually come in my head like at 3 o'clock in the morning. Whereas most people are sleeping, but I'm like thinking, you know, I do that with daytime and country music. I'm like, okay, you know, you know, because I really think, you know, even the pop area, country and pop and R&B are kind of like brothers and sisters. And I would love to see you do a duo with Lionel Richie because I just thought that would be, you know, I mean, you could sing The Roof Off, any of his songs. So I think that would be another cool duet for you.
Holy crap. That's really a great one. Yeah, I mean, say you, say me. Are you kidding me? I'd be all over that. Yeah. I mean,
yes,
Lionel Richie was sort of the soundtrack of my life growing up. And I remember as a young kid, you know, listening to his solo albums, both that I bought, just blew my mind because it was like, I think 6 or 7 singles that went number one on each album, and he was so on a roll. He was just tearing it up, and I love Lionel Richie. Make no mistake about it, he's a phenomenal singer, songwriter, and conveyor of his own Great American Songbook. He's such an amazing talent. But yeah, you had some good ideas, Carly. I'm gonna give it to you. You got good ideas.
Well, you know, and you know, if it ever could be possible, I'm like when we've been talking, I would love to have you and Wissy and the other one on the show, the three of you, get for people to know and get out about you guys, you know, doing the USO stuff and everything. I mean, you know, I would love you and Wissy together on my show just because that would be like, you know, because this is, okay, I'm turning 41 in a month, which I hate that age at all. I hate it. But I've decided that, okay, 41, I need to have a couple of bucket list things. So if you could make that happen, and my birthday is June 9th, if, you know, you could talk to the guys, like, we'll see. And the other one, and just, I think it would be awesome. Because you, like I said in the beginning, you and Wissy have been my two favorite artists from way back. And Lone Star and Little Texas were both, you know, Rascal Fox of the 90s. Both of you guys were. And so do you think that could happen? Do you think you could see if that could be possible?
I think I know some people that can make that happen. I just got to make a few phone calls and check on time and make sure they're available. But I promise you I will work on that. You have my word on that, Carly.
Oh, awesome. Okay, and, you know, a couple of fun questions. So you guys go on the road a lot. and you guys stay in hotel rooms. Okay, so when you guys are out on the road, are you guys cooking, or do you guys have to, like, find restaurants every day, or how does that work?
That is a great question for me. A lot of people don't know this. Aside from being a singer, I'm also a chef. So that's one of my fortes, one of my favorites. I mean, I like all things creative. So if it involves creating a song, creating a meal, creating a pairing of wine with the food or anything in that category, I'm all about it. And so over the last 20 years in my off time, I have worked on becoming a world-class chef who knows how to cook some food. I do not have a culinary degree, so I don't call myself a chef. I call myself a world-class cook. I've done some incredible things with a bunch of incredible chefs who have all said to me, dude, you missed your calling. You need to do this. So I will tell you, most of the time when I'm on the road, I try to cook myself. If I'm in the bus and there's a place to cook, I cook myself. If there's not, then I find great restaurants because I love to find great restaurants and new recipes and new flavors and the way to pair things together. So I'm all about that. And I'll also bring this up because this goes with this. I'm in the middle of a negotiation with a TV network to host a television show based on food, music, and so
food might be favorite things.
When I can talk about that, I will. Right now, I can't say anything.
I mean,
I know.
When
I will
yeah,
say,
I have,
it's exciting. It's exciting. So we'll see what happens. But it looks great, and they're encouraged with me, and I'm encouraged with them. So we'll see where it goes. So.
Well, and you know, and I mean, with yeah, I mean, wow, you cook too. No, the reason why I say that I cannot cook. I try. Believe me, I try, but everything I do is burnt. And it just, I mean, it's it, you know, I mean, then the other night I was making garlic bread, and I'm like, okay, you cannot be on Twitter, you cannot go in your room and wash something, you have to wash the bread because your bread cannot burn. And it was just agony waiting for it to, like, happen. I'm like, okay, hurry up, I want to go on Twitter, I want to go relax, but, you know, I don't want to burn my apartment down. That would be, you know, really, really bad for, like, everyone. But, yeah, and also I always wanted to know with, you know, because they are on, you know, you guys are on a bus. So is it like a bus or is it an RV now? Because a lot of the singers, you know, have gone the RV route.
When I go out, I'm typically in a bus, and that's when I do it, I'm in a bus. There are times that I haven't been in an RV before, but that sounds fun. I used to try to get a bus that's got somewhat of a stove and or an oven involved because I enjoy that. And there are also times that I just choose to fly, and I get there, and then I hunker down on where we're at and where's the best food, then we go from there.
Well, that, you know, yeah, and that is, you know, really good. And when you guys are not on the road, I mean, when you're not on the road and stuff, are you addicted to any primetime shows by now? You know,
that's
I could
a great
get you
question.
Into, I could get you into the daytime mode, Tim. I mean, I'm in
you know
the
what?
Daytime mode.
I'm not. I mean, I do like, I'll be really honest, I don't watch a lot of TV because I got three children and a wife and I have a bunch of other stuff I keep my mind focused on. There are a few shows over the years that have made me go, ooh. My wife kind of got me into Designated Survivor with Keith Sutherland. So
yes.
So that's definitely a good show. I watched this other show that was on Netflix. It was pretty violent, so I don't suggest it for any families at all. But it was called Peaky Blinders. And
yeah, my cousin was telling me about it.
Yeah, it's P-E-A-K-Y, and then blinders, just like a blinder. And a peaky was a hat, like a kind of like a derby hat that they would wear in the 20s and 30s, and, you know, sort of like an Irishman's hat. And it's about a family from Ireland called the Shelby family. And they moved to Birmingham, England, and kind of, I won't give it all away, but they sort of have to take care of matters into their own hands. And they do. And but Peaky Blinders, that's a pretty good show, I got to say. But besides that, I mean, I really don't watch much.
Oh, yeah. See, I mean, yeah, I mean, like my daytime mood, yeah, I'm, you know, I have to watch all those soaps. And everyone's like, Holly, you have an easy job. No, you don't. By Friday night when I do my normal prime time, daytime show, by the end of the week, like, I'm thrilling at, you know, what storyline is going on. And then when the prime time would happen, you know, it's Chicago Med, Chicago Fire, Blue Blood, like, all of those. So, and that, I mean, a lot of people are excited because it's almost summer. I'm not because, you know, I go 3 months without my primetime shows and, you know, like, you know, I mean, I don't know what I would do without my TiVo because growing up, you know, I would kind of sort of skip school and go home and just accidentally turn on the No Hospital or Days of a Life when technically I should have been in school. I mean, it's just one of those things where, right now, I'm grateful for the technology, and I know a lot of people aren't, but I think it's good with you kids. Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you. So how do you deal with it with the kids? I mean, with everything being, you know, technology and everything, is it harder to become a parent now with every Twitter, Facebook, everything? Is it, or is it easier?
Oh, it's much harder. You know, I for me, it's I've been at this marriage thing for almost 25 years, so we've kind of gotten savvy at understanding, you know, what's out there in the world and what's not. But, you know, I think kids should be kids. I don't think kids should be glued to a TV or glued to an iPad or glued to an iPhone. I think you need to, you know, still encourage them to go out in the backyard and climb a tree or throw the football or do something that, you know, do an arts and craft, do something cool that doesn't involve clicking a button. And so for us, I'm sort of a real minority because most people are in the other category, but I just think there's so much more cool things to do. You know, my daughter Emma, she's my middle daughter, she loves horses. And so we've got her out in the horse pasture every day with the horses. My son River, he's 11. He loves to fish. He likes to fly fish. And so I taught him how to fly fish for trout, and we go out and hit the river, and we fly fish. And my daughter Bailey, of course, she's a singer and makes her YouTube videos, and she likes to make, you know, homemade crafts and sell them online and give the money to charity.
Oh,
so there's just all kinds of stuff you can do.
I mean, that is, you know, awesome. And, you know, I just, you know, yeah, I mean, I have 8 nieces and nephews, so, and both of them live in Idaho. My stupid brother moved. I still haven't forgave him. I still haven't forgave him on that one. But to close out the interview, you know, I just want to, people want to know, so, the Big Band is this summer, or are you guys going to be gone all summer long, or does it start in August?
You have to kind of look for us. I promise you this much. We're going to be all over the place, and I'll be doing a few shows with the front men in a few different states, which is Larry Stewart from Russell's Heart and Richie McDonald from Lone Star. If you go to timrushlow.com, you can see it. You also can follow me on Twitter. I'm just at Tim Rushlow. I'm easy to find. That's how you found me. And then there's also I'm on Facebook as well. But, you know, the main thing with the front men and again with my big band is that we're, you know, well, with the front man, first off, you know, Larry Stewart still sings for Russell's Heart. Richie McDonald still sings for Lone Star.
Mm-hmm.
So their bands are out there touring. But in between the dates that they're working, we try to fit a show in every once in a while. But that's their primary focus. And my primary focus is the big band. And so I can tell you there's a big announcement coming in about 2 weeks that I will be setting my big band down. And I can tell you, I'll be setting it down in Nashville from November the 10th until December 31st. So for 7 weeks, my band's going to be playing most nights here in Nashville at an undisclosed location, which with a very, very cool supper club vibe. So if anybody's looking to make a cool trip and they want to hear some great retro music that sounds like Bobby Darin's here, you want to come see me. And that announcement will be made public in about 2.5 weeks, and it'll be online. It'll be on my website. And I'll let you know that information so you can talk about it. But it's looking, looking really great.
Well, you know, yeah, and yeah, I was worried. Oh, yeah, how am I? You know, and my co-host and my host today. You know, it was such a early afternoon because we usually do this at like, you know, 5 or 6 when everyone gets home. But I kind of like doing this way for, you know, because selfishly, then I can have you all to myself for like. And now it was, you know, I mean, even though I promoted it, but with this show, you know, with Blog Talk, what I love is people can listen to it 45 minutes up to, you know, after it airs, and they can listen to it whenever they want. So, you know, they won't have to be like tied down going, oh my God, I just missed this interview. And, you know, Matt, no, I mean, that's, you know, yeah, Blog Talk drives me crazy most days, but most days is, you know, well, it's perfect. And before I let you go, my host Bobby is on the line. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, how are you doing tonight, guys?
Great.
Good.
Great. I wanted to say I really enjoyed your group collaborations with Jeff Fosbury and one of his comedy CDs with one of your songs, which was remixed into one of his stand-up bits that he did years ago for his one of his first albums.
Oh, thanks, man. That was a lot of fun. I enjoyed doing that.
Yeah. I just was hoping that maybe one day you can just get back and just do it for all 4 blue-collar comedy boys, because that would be awesome.
That is so funny you said that. I actually was I was hanging out with Ron White this last week here in Nashville, and we were cutting up and having fun. He was in town to introduce a new tequila line that he actually came up with out of Mexico that he's going to launch. And part of that line and what he was in town doing was also looking at what I'm up to with this announcement that'll come in a couple weeks that I can't say too much about. So there will be a time very shortly when I can reunite with a couple of those guys. I actually, you know, Larry the Cable Guy and Jeff Foxworthy are really good friends, and I see him every now and then, and they're both just outstanding humans. I love Bill Engvall, but I don't see him as much. But I love those guys, and they're a lot of fun, and they bring really great, clean humor to the world, and that's an awesome thing. You know, they're just envious of their talent. They're all amazing. But thanks for saying that. That's pretty cool.
Right. I don't know about Ron White's act, because I've heard him drop a few F-bombs in his act before.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Right.
He is. You're right. He is definitely the dirty boy of those four, for sure. And so I wasn't trying to play him. I wasn't trying to play him out to be a schoolboy by any stretch. He's not.
I'm sure if he's listening, he's probably agreeing with me.
Oh,
hey,
yeah, totally. He's totally green. He is.
And you happen to work recently in North Carolina in Fayetteville with one of my dear friends, Jill Charles, at an event in Fayetteville recently.
I love Fayetteville, and I don't really know Gil, but
Jill Charles with her band.
Oh, got it. Okay. Well, you know what? I would love to come back to Fayetteville. Having played for the troops overseas for so long every year, I always meet guys. Oh man, I live in Fayetteville. Hey, I'm stationed in Fayetteville. So what a great town! And I really would love to come back there and maybe actually play somewhere towards the base. I mean, I have a really good friend that runs a real estate company based in Fayetteville as well. So I'd love to come back there and see everybody. That'd be awesome.
Well, listen, if you're ever back in Fayetteville, I sure will just make sure that I'll catch you, and I'll just ask Jill when I get a chance, because I keep in touch with her when she's not busy auditioning for other shows or busy with her own band. If you guys are going to come back anytime soon to perform and anything else towards the end of the year, especially with the break before your big show in Nashville.
Absolutely. Hey, any excuse to get to Fayetteville, I'm in. It's really great to talk to you, man. Thanks for the great comments too.
Oh, thanks,
yes,
Bobby.
I'm not a big country music fan, but I just have to tell you how much I enjoy your work with Jeff Foxworthy on his CD, mixing one of his bits with one of your band song and about my friend Jill and her experience with your band whenever you guys came to Fayetteville.
That's very nice, man. Well, I sure appreciate the compliment. And, man,
okay.
I'm no different than you, man. I just sing for a living. So I think the cool part about what I'm blessed. I get to do what I love to do to make a living. But it is a job of mine to make sure that everybody I hang out with feels as normal as I do. I'm on no star trip over here. You know, I'm just a normal guy that just sings for a living. But it's always nice to talk to real people that look at me as somebody that's real. And especially when you have something kind to say, it's much appreciated, and I don't take it for granted. So thanks very much for that, Bob.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having this chance to talk to you. And I just wanted to say one more thing, because I don't know if you're following the Nashville Predators and the hockey team, but as much as I'm a Dutch fan, I hope they win the cup, because at least I'll give somebody a chance to look at something until the Titans can do better again, until Tennessee ball football starts up again.
I agree with you totally on that. I am a Preds fan, and I'm a Titans fan too, and I'm one of those guys, I'm pretty loyal. You know, whether they're doing great or they're doing bad, I try to support them either way, because that's really the only way to be when you're a hometown guy. But I really pray the Predators that they can pull it off, and I pray that the Titans can get back on the grid and figure out how to play competitive ball again too. But, man, thanks for that. Yeah, the Preds, man, I mean, I got my fingers crossed, and the last couple nights I've been bouncing around the house thinking about it and watching it, and my whole family has. It's been pretty miraculous to watch.
Well, hopefully during one of the playoff games remaining with them, you can probably sing the national anthem and maybe help that crowd in Nashville win.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea, Bobby.
I mean, I only follow hockey with the Carolina Hurricanes down here in North Carolina, but I don't mind just watching the Preds, since they're our neighbors, even though we're not in the same division, and I wish we were. But that's different. But it was a pleasure to talk to you.
Hey, pleasure is mine, man. Thank you, Bobby. Have a great night, all
right? Bobby City, I'm going to put you back on hold. Well, yeah, for me, I'm a football fan. I mean, you know, like, I'm counting to football season, and I live in Seattle, so it's everything about the Seahawks. I mean, I'm still not over the playoffs from last year. I know we can come back and win. I know that, but I feel like from December to September, like, I count how many more days until football season, and, you know, baseball season is, you know, crazy, except, yeah, the Mariners are not doing great this year, but, you know. But, yeah, we are so glad we got this interview, but if you can do me a favor and email me tomorrow and let me know what happened with that meeting, and see if we could work together on that other project we were talking about.
Man, I agree with you totally on that, and I will be happy to help you out any way I can. So
we'll
make that happen.
Yep, and, you know, you can come back anytime to promote anything, even if you just need to promote, like, a hat or anything. I don't care. Even if it was a paper bag, I don't care. Just, you know, you can come whenever and promote whatever.
Well, you're a sweetheart. Thank you so much, Carly, for your time.
Yeah.
And for being kind and very educated. And just, guys, you really know your stuff. I mean, the questions you asked were deep and good, and I hope that the listeners at least kind of feel like they know you and me both better for this conversation.
Well, yeah,
so thank you.
Yes, and I will email you tomorrow if that's okay, right?
Perfectly great.
Okay, talk to you later, and thanks again.
Thank you so much, Carly. All right, cheers.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, you guys, that was my Tim Wesso interview.
That was a good
interview. Hello, Bobby. How's Cardi?
Hey, David. Hey.
So, how do you guys think I did?
You did, like I said, you did excellent. Like I said, I'm not a big country fan, but hey, I really have learned from his work, because after hearing him on one of Jeff Foxworthy's albums with his group, I kind of just was glad that he got a chance to work with those guys, and since and he and work with one of my friend's bands, so it was pretty good that he had a chance. Even though the next time he's in town, like I said, I'll probably get a chance to see my friend's band and him at the same time, and probably you know, meet.
Well, and you know, and you guys, we have a busy week. On Thursday, XRZ Shannon, Timothy Strickland is back on here. At 6 o'clock on Thursday night.
6 o'clock West Coast time.
I'll be.
Yeah, 6 o'clock
time.
Yeah.
9 o'clock our time.
Mm-hmm. That's right, 9 East. And
yeah,
eight,
no, that's 9 for David, and 8 for you, Bobby.
And
actually,
it's 9 because we're both on the Eastern time.
No, we're both same time.
Maggie is
you
on the 8 o'clock zone because of Chicago's time difference.
Yeah.
We're
on the same time zone. We on the same
David,
time zone.
David, what time is it there?
It's
right now it's about
7:06.
And Bobby, I know it's 6 o'clock now, and this was probably one of the most incredible interviews. We have that, but Bobby, you are doing the best job with all my Carson tweets. I am very proud of you.
Well, thank you
very much. We need to keep this up. And I hate Maria. I hate that bitch. She needs to go down.
Who that?
For everything. For even thinking about, and I want Ava to die. Yes.
Who's Maria?
I'm saying the same thing about now.
Who's Maria?
Carly's lawyer.
Martina.
I'm way behind on Joan Hopper.
Her name is. I don't care what I mean at this point. I really, really don't chill. But yeah.
Right, I'm way behind on GH, so I'm probably going to have to catch back up with the rebroadcast of Tracy's last day, that part of the my region and Carl and Maggie's region got interrupted for Trump. And with the breaking news that just happened while we were talking about what Trump did, the interrupted General Hospital on your neck of the woods, because I don't know if any of my LA friends or San Francisco friends who might call into the show or have ties with you might know more than I do, because it didn't interrupt here on the East Coast as far as the 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock broadcast.
It interrupted part of it on Florida, just a little bit of it, like a little bit of it.
Okay, well, I'm going to check the Facebook thing a little bit later, because I have today's day's recording. I didn't know if they ended up going to a speech or anything like that, because I've been kind of busy today, because I've been rearranging furniture, and I'm going to get new carpet into my room and stuff like that in the next couple of days, so I might be having...
Wait, why are you getting new carpet in your room, buddy?
Oh, well, actually, it's new flooring, because a couple months ago when we had Hurricane Matthew come through here, it flooded my area. And I've been on a bare floor.
Hey, Bobby, do you have flood insurance for that?
I don't know, but my neck of the woods in Fable where I am in my neighborhood didn't get flooded that much, as much as the other parts of Fable, because the bridge was out just right down the street from where I was, and Hope Mills was kind of flooded with their lake, and it was hard to get in and out of my volunteer jobs during the week because of that.
That's a pain in the ass, Bobby, for you. Luckily we don't get hurricanes here.
Right. Right,
yeah, more time
for was
that.
A pain because when I got back, just have time before I go to work, I was going to watch Days of Our Lives, and everything was disarrayed to the point I had to reassemble everything just in time for the TiVo machine to turn on at 1 o'clock to record Days. Now I'm just realizing if that was worth it with the breaking news around here, but I don't, because I was checking with the show that are on at 2
o'clock. Oh, Bobby, did you get a TiVo yet? You need a TiVo. I love my TiVo.
No, no, it actually is a cable DVD. It's actually a DVR player, which what Spectrum had.
No, I would go crazy. I would go crazy without my TiVo. Everyone knows it. But okay, guys, I've been talking for like an hour and 14 minutes. So, but we will be back on Thursday. And then we will do our regular Friday show, too.
Okay, well, I look forward to actually calling in Thursday to talk to you all. And hopefully, depending on what time it is and how late it is, I won't keep you all on there that long. But because I might have to just call it a night or whatever. But I'll text you later in the
okay,
day.
Oh, yeah. And, yep. Okay, thanks. You guys have a great day.
Have a good night.
Yep, I see you, Dirty. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And again, thanks to Tim Westlow. Okay, bye, guys. Bye.